Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor who is wearing baseball jerseys gives you sports betting tips. We have made it to Major League Baseball opening day 2024, Thursday, March 28th. Folks, if you've been with us for any time now, you are well aware that baseball is usually good times around here. So we are really looking forward to getting back to the baseball season. And if you missed the announcement the other day on College Basketball Show, we're going to do our best to cover as many games as possible on these shows, going back to a little bit of a longer show than we had done last year, more like we did 2 years ago. We're going to cover a lot of games, a lot of information here on these shows. They're going to get a little bit long. And folks, that's one of the reasons why you might want to join us over on Dub Club. You can get a free 10-day trial right now if you want that QR code there or the link in the show description. We'll start you off there, but you'll get so much information, weather information, park factors, how that's going to affect the game, bullpen information, starting pitcher, hitting information, all sorts of first five run line, reverse run line, all sorts of thresholds needed for A-grade picks. And, you know, we're going to have some games where the starting pitchers aren't known or they're changed. That updated information will get sent to Dub Club as well. So a lot of reasons to be there. And, of course, we can't do a show every single day. We don't do shows for Sunday. And life happens sometimes. We will miss a show or two here or there. We'll try not to. Or maybe you don't have time to watch the show, and you'll get all the picks in a nice, convenient format rather than having to watch me babble on here for an hour. You'll get the recap slide over there on Dub Club as well. So a lot of benefits for being over there on Dub Club. But otherwise, if you haven't been with us, and this is your first time maybe watching the show, just a couple of things to lay the groundwork and some reminders, especially if you haven't been with us here, if you skipped out on college basketball, if you missed out on football, folks, you missed so much money being made in both college football and NFL. So hopefully you didn't. Hopefully you're with us for that. But, you know, one of the things you're going to get here with me, I'm going to shoot you straight. I'm never going to lie to you. I'm never going to tell you to make a pick when you shouldn't. There's games we're going to cover today that I'm going to say, hey, I don't really think there's a great angle right now. We got to picks on a lot of games, a lot of things I like here. There's a few that are I think are going to be harder to find a good angle for. I'll tell you where I like the picks more, where I don't, but I'm going to shoot you straight. And part of that is the fact that I'm not going to be preaching hitting home runs. If you want to do that, that's great. That's your business. You know, if you want to try to hit a 17 parlay or same game parlay with props, you do you. That is not going to be, in my opinion, the best way to build your bankroll. And that's what we're here for, to build your bankroll. Folks, if you struggle betting baseball, it is one of the easier sports to bet if you know what to do. It can be very difficult if you don't, but there are lower margins in baseball, lower hold, lower vig. You can shop around and you can get, you know, almost a no-hold market. And so you can make money off baseball if you just hang in there through the grind of the season and figure out what our strategies are and how we're going to do it. We're going to slow and steady build. We're going to have some great days. We're going to have some great weeks. Not every week's going to be profitable, unfortunately. I wish, you know, we had that. But we're going to have, almost assuredly, we're going to have more profitable days than not. That's the way it's gone every year we've done baseball. And so, you know, we like to keep in mind the big picture. We're going to have days where we go 9-0. We're going to have days where we go 0-9. That's just the way it goes. So don't lose focus of the big picture. Remember that we're dealing with probabilities. It can be confusing and frustrating, but folks, when we say something's going to happen 40% of the time and we play it because it's big plus odds, we expect to lose it 60% of the time. But when it hits those 2 out of 5 times, it's going to make us more than when we lose. The same thing goes for when we play a favorite. We say it's going to hit 60% of the time. It's going to lose 40% of the time. That's just the way it is. That's okay. We wish every pick could win, but if it did, then our model would actually not be calibrated right. So we know we're going to have some losses, and that's okay, because if our model's calibrated correctly, and I think we've got a pretty good one here for our baseball version of Sideline, it will give us long-term profits, what we show with baseball, and that's what we're going to try to do here. So let's keep our heads on straight. It's a grind. It starts today, but it's a lot of fun. It can make a lot of money. There's a lot of people here who've been with us for a few years, and I know you can attest to that. So looking forward to the ride. First, as I mentioned, though, remember, shop around for the best price. It is so important to do with baseball. One of the places you do that, BetUS, if you've not checked them out, first deposit, 125% bonus in your first 3 deposits. It does come with a rollover. That's the way all offers work with these things. they're very generous with their bonuses, but you have to play over the money a few times. With baseball, folks, we're going to give you a lot of plays almost every single day for you to roll it over. It'll be the rollover part will be within no time, so you can run through it with all the baseball picks we're going to get. So check BetUS out if you have not yet today. Link in the show description.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Two games already postponed for opening day. That's why there's not a full slate of games on Friday. So that the teams can proactively, when it looks like the weather's going to be nasty, push the game to Friday. I already got two of those that's happened for. It looks like everything else will get played. This first game, the Angels and the Orioles, might actually end up being pushed back a little bit because of the rain, but it looks like we should be able to get it in later on in the day. So we may not see baseball until 4 p.m. Eastern, which is unfortunate if you are in the Eastern times like I am. If you're over in the Western, you know, Pacific time zone on the West Coast, you know, you'll still get baseball at 1 p.m. You'll probably be okay. And you might not miss having the morning baseball if you're able to sleep in, if you got some work to do here on Thursday. But this game might have a delayed start. And again, we already have two postponements. We should not have many starting pitcher changes today, as everybody's kind of been able to plan out. So that'll be probably more going forward. So just something to keep in the back of your mind. We do have a pretty good idea of who's going in all these games, but we want to be betting most of the time when we like our starting pitcher dependent. That's fairly common with the offshores from the domestics. You sometimes got to shop around for it, look around for it, maybe select your options a little bit better. We oftentimes are backing a really good pitcher, like we're going to do here in this first game. We want to make sure that the bet's tied to him in case he gets scratched for whatever reason. He gets sick, you know, throwing up, flu. I don't know who has kids, right? If you got young kids, you never know what's going to happen, right? You know, or injury, of course, you know, warming up in the bullpen, something happens. If all of a sudden Corbin Burns is not starting for Baltimore, we don't want to be on the hook for this pick, because a lot of the reason why we're back in the Orioles is Corbin Burns. You can see there, just as an orientation to this, to what you're seeing here on screen. If you're with us on YouTube, you'll see some numbers in that chart. The first line is the offensive rating. 100 is average. Higher means more runs. The number in the parentheses is versus a lefty or a righty. It is specific to what they are facing. So you can see on screen there, the Angels are a 108 on offense. That is above average. They are a 105 against a righty. They'll be facing a righty in Corbin Burns. The Orioles are a 106, also above average, but only a 99. So right around average against a lefty. They'll be facing a lefty in Patrick Sandoval. That second line tells you about the pitcher, if he's a lefty or righty. And their grade, 100 is average. Again, more higher means more runs, so lower is better for pitchers. Patrick Sandoval, not a bad pitcher for Los Angeles, not as good as Corbin Burns, though, who's been one of the stronger starters in baseball. Here's the thing to keep in mind with this game specifically, because there is a large starting pitcher discrepancy. This first time through the rotation, I'm not expecting the starters to go very long at all. I'm expecting them to go a little bit longer than the guys did over in Korea. A part of that is in that second game, just things went haywire in a hurry in that game, but also, of course, the extra whatever it's been, I guess, week, you know, 8 days or whatever since that first game, seven from the second game, extra starts, extra time to prepare. That should give everybody an extra inning or so. But we oftentimes, this first into the rotation, you'll see like one guy randomly make eight innings because he's just cruising, but a lot of guys are going to be going four, five, and six innings. Like the Orioles, because they have a starting pitcher edge, but they're going to have an edge on the bump the entire game. You can see it. The Angels have the same problem they had last year with the bullpen. A 121 is pretty bad. The standard deviation here on these is always 15. It's over a full standard deviation, worse than league average. The top relievers, if they have a lead, are not any better. Orioles, on the other hand, pretty average set of relievers. Obviously, Bautista being out for the season is going to be a talking point all year because of how dominant he was. With him in there, the top end guys get better. The overall gets better. Everybody slots in better. It's great bullpen if you're Baltimore with him in there. Unfortunately, he won't be. But it doesn't really matter when you're comparing them to the Angels, because the Orioles will have an edge every single inning on the mound. They're at home. That's why we give them a 65% chance to win. And that's what's going to make the official pick on this one. Baltimore, we are playing them at minus 184. That is about the exact price that the model says it should be. That's why it gets a C grade. It's one of the few C grades that we are playing today. And if you're with us on Dub Club, you have a sheet probably want to have that up with this as you're going through this. You can kind of make your notes or check it out or whatever. It's one of the few C grades that were given out today. But I think it makes sense to play Baltimore. The biggest caveat about this is that because of the fact that we're playing it right at where the model says, we just don't want to get caught playing a number too high. We don't really want to play this at minus 200. We really don't want to play it in the minus 190s. If it gets to that point, I'm not saying we play the Angels, but we really just don't like the number that much. If you can get low 180s into the 170s, that's even better. People might look at a first five on this one. We'll have all the first five info at the update tomorrow on Dub Club, depending on recording this really late. So depending on when you're watching this, you may already have it out there with you if you're with us over on Dub Club. Again, free 10-day trial. So you can check all this stuff out, see if you like it, see all the information, that link to sign ups in the show description. The biggest thing here, again, shop around. We like the Orioles. We just don't want to pay a huge price. And that's why it gets a C grade, because the price is fairly steep at minus 184. But we still think it's worth your investment. To the set of games at 4 p.m. Eastern, there are a lot of them. I don't know, about 10 or so. We're going to start with the Nationals and the Reds. Josiah Gray and Frankie Montas for this one. Obviously, Josiah Gray, if you were with us last year, is a guy that the model doesn't really love. You can see that with his rating, about a full standard deviation worse than average. Montas, a guy that's been up and down, had been stronger than last year with a lot of the injuries. Model still thinks he's decent enough. And the biggest thing is this Reds team, I'm not sure they're going to be able to make the playoffs this year. I'm not sure about the hype. We'll see what happens at the trade down line. That'll be the biggest thing. Their offense is just okay. Some of the guys that are these young prospects, I'm not sure people should be quite as high on them as they are. They got a couple guys out for various reasons at this point. The injury or suspension, that hurts the lineup as well. And they really didn't do a lot to fix their bullpen. The guys that they added are guys that don't really project well. I don't think this Reds team's bad. I'm just not sure they're good. I think this Nats team still is bad. They played hard last year, and they've got some pieces, but I'm just not seeing it yet. I think their bullpen might be a little bit better, but Cincinnati's still the better team here. At minus 146 gets us an A-grade pick on the Reds. The models that they went should win 64% of the time. That means the price, according to the sideline, should be minus 179. So anything better than minus 155 gets you to that A-grade threshold. So we have an A-grade play on the Reds. It's probably my least favorite A-grade of the day with regards to the sides that we're going to give out here on this show. It's not to say I don't like it. I'm not playing it. It's my least favorite simply because, you know, when you're talking about laying a price like this, we have the home team, which is good. Home only matters so much. I want to have a little bit something more on my side that's going in our favor. The biggest thing in our favor in this is that the Nationals, we still think, aren't that good. That's a reason to fade them, but I just don't love laying a price like minus 146 unless I'm getting a great starting pitcher, a great offense. This Reds team's okay. So I think the price should be higher based off how bad the Nats are, but of all the A grades that we have, probably my least favorite. But that'll take us to a game in Pittsburgh and Miami where, as of right now, we don't have any play. And the reason for that is it seems priced very well. Mitch Keller and Jesus Luzardo are both fairly solid pitchers. You can see with the ratings they're on screen, both better than average. These offenses a little bit below average. Unfortunately, that has led us to a projected total very close to the actual total of 7.5. You know, I don't really think if you can find a 7, I don't really think I'd love going over 7 because the hitting tends to fall behind the pitching most games earlier in the season. Part of that's weather, which won't be an issue here in Miami with the fact that they've got the roof there. But these are two pretty solid pitchers. Lazardo is getting some hype for the Cy Young coming into the season. Keller was just remarkably consistent last year. These offenses just aren't that good. These relievers are solid. As you can see, all those numbers below 100 means not a lot of runs. But that doesn't mean that 7.5 is the number you really want to go under as well. It's not really a great total play, in my opinion. It's not really a great side to play. As the model says, the Marlins win 55% of the time. That'd be a price of minus 123. And right now it's priced pretty well. We'll see what happens in the morning. Maybe we'll have a pick on this one for the full game, or maybe we'll have a first five play, or maybe it's just a game where we say there's a lot of games in opening day. We don't have to play them all. The sheet will give you all the information if you just have to have a play, what we think the best shot is, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's worth our investment, at least as of now. A game where we do think there's a good investment here, Giants and the Padres. Folks, San Diego can play as an extreme pitcher's park. It tends to get even more extreme in those night games in May and June based off of the weather patterns there in California. So we're going to really like our unders then. This one isn't that, and it's an afternoon game. And sometimes that park can play fairly hitter-friendly even in the afternoon when the sunshiny ball can carry a little bit. But as usual in San Diego, we're going to have pretty mild temperatures, mid-60s. Wind blowing in at around 10 miles an hour is going to help out as well. And so because of that, you've got a pitcher-friendly ballpark, pitcher-friendly weather. You've got some pitcher-friendly teams in this regard. Logan Webb, of course, one of the best starting pitchers in baseball for the Giants. Yu Darvish probably past his prime at this point, but still seems to be hanging on and pitching fairly decent. The Padres' bullpen is always the scary thing. We already talked about this on Dub Club in those Korea games, but here's the thing about the Padres. Sideline shows that offense to be below league average, and people might be surprised about that, but obviously losing Soto hurts a lot. Machado right now being injured hurts a lot. They don't really have a lot on offense at this moment. The Giants' offense seems to be okay. It seems like a bunch of decent hitters. There's not a ton there that you're coming to the park to see hitting wise, but there's a bunch of decent guys. You know, they added a guy like Soler. He can hit the ball. They got a guy from overseas who's going to supposedly bat towards the top of the lineup for him, who you know might be able to do some things. So a decent enough lineup. And so the Giants, you know, might be able to scratch out a few runs here, but the Padres are going to have a tough time getting runs, even though they're the home team against a guy like Logan Webb to start off the season. And then when you get to the bullpens, the Giants have a lot of really good relievers. So we're going to hold our breath here with the Padres relievers being a little bit scary, but go under 7.5 on this one. It's a B-grade pick. First five might be a way to look. We'll see what the number is in the morning. That's part of the code that I've written, is that we only check the first fives in the morning because typically those markets aren't really well established the night before and there's not a lot of numbers out there. So we'll see if there's a good first five angle. That might be something to look into. If you're with us on Dub Club, you already see the first five projection, so you already kind of know what you're looking for. But for now, the full game under makes a lot of sense. I love going under 7.5 because 7 is such a common outcome in baseball. So pitcher-friendly park, pitcher-friendly weather, pitcher-friendly teams and situation, under 7.5 is our first total that we're going to play here of the season. We're going to play another total at 410 here. Cardinals and the Dodgers are actually going to go over in this game, over 8.5. Only a C-grade pick here. I think it's the only other C-grade that we have. And it's actually my least favorite play on the slate. Debated if we wanted to add this one or not. Thought about, you know, maybe we just pass on this game, hold off. The reason we decided to go for it is the model's projecting 9 runs. As you can see, they're on screen. Park's pretty neutral. The weather's pretty neutral. Dodger Stadium gets a little bit of a rap for a pitcher's park. It can play fairly pitcher-friendly when it's chillier on the fringes of the season at night, especially depending on what month it is and all the California fog, whatever weird thing happens over there with all that we talk about every year come May and June. Day games, though, at LA can be hitter friendly, and we'll have the wind blowing out. It kind of always blows out there. The weather will be okay. The biggest thing is that this Cardinals offense is still decent, and the Dodgers offense can erupt. The models only got them at about a 120 here, which is good. There were times last year they were up to about a 130. So we'll see where that number lands as they start collecting some data and we really see exactly how deep the lineup is. Obviously, we know those top three hitters are among the best in baseball. I mean, that's just an insane trio. They might lack a little bit of depth beyond that, especially losing a guy like JD Martinez. So we'll see where it lands out. But as you saw in those games against Korea, they, even in that first game that was low scoring, it just feels like they can put up a crooked number at any time. And sometimes it's a large crooked number. So that was kind of what pushed me over the edge here to play over 8.5. I'd play over 9 as well, but we need to make sure we're getting even money or better if we're playing over 9, knowing that we might push there. And if you're thinking about pushes and where your money is and bankroll management, if you're concerned about a push, this is probably a pass at 9, because 9 is a very possible outcome in this game, of course. And so if we're playing over 9, we need to be okay with the push, but we really want plus odds. Over 8.5, we're going to have to lay a little bit of juice. We're laying right now at minus 120, but we are okay with that because 9 seems to be the most likely outcome in this Dodgers offense. You can put up so many crooked numbers. So it's kind of the weakest play that we have here, but we're going to put a little bit of money down on this over and that one. Yankees and Astros, possibility of the roof is open there at Minute Maid Park. They tend to do that early in the season and late in the season when the weather permits. It should be a beautiful day in Houston if you're in that area. You can get out to the ballpark. We're going to take the Astros here at minus 152. It's a B-grade pick. Sideline says it should be minus 163, so it just ekes into a B-grade. The A-grade price would be minus 140. It might get there. You never really know. There always tends to be Yankees money in the market that isn't really deserved. And so we end up fading the Yankees a lot. Even in the worst years of fading the Yankees, it tends to play out about even. In the good years, you tend to make money doing it. But it's never a bad idea to look to fade the Yankees because they tend to be overpriced, which is why you'll notice in years past, and we'll continue it this year, if there's any value in the Yankees, we'll jump all over, even if it's a C grade, because there tends to not be opportunities to back the Yankees. It's more so fading them. And this one seems like a good spot to fade them. Nestor Cortez, not a bad pitcher, but just average. The Astros destroy lefties. They're set up to do it well. The model gives them one of the best ratings against left-handed pitchers possible. And on top of that, it doesn't really dive too deep into the fact, but we talked about a lot last year that two of their lefties and Tucker and Alvarez hit lefties pretty well. They're among the better lefties that hit lefties in baseball. And so that lineup for Houston is just set up to hit lefties. Framber Valdez, one of the best starting pitchers in baseball for the Astros, has had some struggles at the end of last year, but the way he started off last season, you assume he'll be fresh and ready to go. The Yankees offense is good. And that's, of course, the reason why this is only a B grade, because we are having to lay a little bit of a price. But when you've got a Cy Young contender in Framber Valdez, a massive edge for the Astros there, starting pitcher, bullpen-wise, the Astros will still have an edge. They've got a lot of depth, especially with the addition of Josh Hader to that bullpen. They'll still have an edge, a little bit less of one as the game goes along, and pretty even offenses at home. The Astros should be favored by a little bit more than they are. So minus 152, B-grade pick. Again, if you get down to minus 140, that would get you to the A-grade. Blue Jays and the Rays, a game where we do have an A-grade pick. Tampa Bay minus 127. It's going to get us the A-grade price model, so it should be minus 153, as you can see there with the 60% chance that the Rays win. A-grade threshold's minus 132 or better. Zach Eflin and Jose Berríos, who was not bad, and we backed him a lot last year. Especially the first half of the season, people didn't quite realize he wasn't as terrible as the year before when he was pretty unlucky. At this point, slightly better than league average, but Zach Eflin's a guy we backed a lot last year. The model loves him. He's been a very good pitcher here ever since going to Tampa Bay. Otherwise, these two teams are pretty similar. The Rays bullpen's a little bit better. Offense last year for Tampa was so strong and really helped carry them as they had an entire rotation, it seemed like, on the IL. Good offense for Toronto, but we ended up fading the Blue Jays a decent bit over the last couple of years when they've been overhyped, and this seems like another good case to fade them. The Rays at minus 127 is a really short price for the fact that we've got a pretty good edge here in starting pitcher backing Zach Eflin, a guy who was really good to us last year. So we'll see if we can get it done there again. And another A-grade play here on the next game, Twins and Royals. Folks, this one boils down, in my opinion, two things. And number one, we are not going to get Pablo Lopez at minus 118 against very many teams. The list of teams we're going to be able to back Pablo Lopez this year at minus 118 against is going to be like, or better, is going to be like the Astros, the Yankees, depending on who's pitching, maybe the Mariners, like if he's going against a guy like Castillo. I mean, it's not going to be much, you know, Tampa, that sort of thing, right? There's not going to be a lot of times. A lot of times he's going to be facing, it seems like the Royals, seems like the White Sox, and all, you know, all those central teams, and we're going to have to be paying a price like minus 180 or minus 220 to back Pablo Lopez. He's a very good pitcher. As you can see there, sideline says he's almost two standard deviations better than league average. If you've been following us for any time now, we've long been talking about how this guy is very underrated, very good pitcher. Cole Reagans for Kansas City, on the other hand, was phenomenal last year. But he's still thrown less than 100 major league innings. And I think we have to remember that. And that's why Sideline only has him as an 89. I want to make sure that we're all clear on this. If he is to continue to pitch like he did last season in the whatever 80 innings or whatever it was that he pitched, he will easily jump up in that rating and, you know, get to where Pablo Lopez is. Unfortunately, for him, and, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen with him specifically. We don't predict the future. We just kind of project the average outcome here. The average outcome for a guy who has thrown brilliantly in whatever 70 innings is oftentimes not quite as good as the best moments. And it's oftentimes for a guy who's bad, not as bad as the bad. We call that regression to the mean. It's kind of the way to think about that. But again, he was phenomenal last year, sub-3 ERA, and every bit deserving of it. The underlying metrics, the FIP, the XFIP, et cetera. And we'll talk more about those as the season goes along right now, other than, you know, a pitcher for San Diego and LA, everyone's looking at zeros, right? So we don't really much to talk about that as so far. But as he's going along, we'll talk about the underlying metrics and whatnot. But the underlying metrics must just support everything he did in those 70-ish innings. But unfortunately, it's a small sample size, and we have so much data on guys who come up and pitch that well. And it's not always perfect. We like it to be. We love to remember the prospects who come up and look great and then continue it, but there's a lot of them that don't. We have to remember he was very shaky previously with Texas. Now, part of that is this is a guy who I believe had Tommy John surgery, I think twice. I'm not willing to give him a complete pass necessarily for what he did with the Rangers previously. So he has over 100 innings, sorry, overall. I'm just talking about his stint in Kansas City was less than 100. And so having just less than 100 great innings, I'm just not sold on him yet. So I think to me, the bottom line is why there's value in this game is twofold. Number one, there's a starting pitcher discrepancy that Pablo Lopez is the better pitcher. And I just don't want us to get caught up in Cole Reagans, because while he might have a great season, if your default position on a guy like this is, I think he'll be good, maybe not great, you're going to be wrong sometimes, because there are times when a guy like this is going to do well, but you're going to be right more times than wrong. And that's all we're interested in here. If Cole Reagans was out to win the Cy Young this year, that's fine, because for every Cole Reagans that we have in the situation, tempering our expectations is going to lead us to more money that we're going to lose when we have those tempered expectations. And if he starts off great, the model will adjust quickly. As it is, though, we need to see more from him. So I think Pablo Lopez is still the better pitcher. Reason number two, the Twins are just a much better team. And even if Reagans has a great year, I'm just not sure how deep he's going to go. When it gets to the bullpens here, the Twins are going to have a huge edge. The Royals' bullpen's improved from last year. That's only because it couldn't be much worse. The offense is better. They're on the road, but the Twins should be decent favorites here. More in the minus 150, minus 160 range, minus 118. This is one of my favorite plays of the day. It's not the best play of the day. The best play of the day is still going to be exclusive for people on Blackbook Sports, which you can sign up in the link link in the show description if that's all you're interested in, or if you're with a dub club, you get the whole kit and caboodle, including the play of the day. So if you're with us on dub club over there, you already know what the play of the day is. It's my favorite play. This one's up there as a big favorite because I think we're a little bit overreacting to Cole Reagans and forgetting the fact that I'm not sure how many innings he's going to go, and they're still the Royals. The Twins are still the much better team. One last 4 p.m. game, Tigers and the White Sox. Chilly weather here in Chicago, so it won't be the most fun game to go to. I think that's probably what you're going to be saying a lot about the White Sox this year. They have a competent starter in Garrett Crochet, but the fact that he's their opening day starter does not bode well for them. Their offense is pathetic. Their bullpen just seems like they've given up. And when you look at the roster construction, especially the starting rotation, it does indeed look like they've already given up before the first pitch. Kind of feels a little bit like Major League, if you remember that movie. The Tigers, on the other hand, decent. Will they compete this year? I mean, the Central is still, you know, relatively weak. It's winnable, like always, it seems. We had higher hopes from them in the past, and they haven't really pulled through. They've had spurts where they've looked good. Maybe this is the year the Tigers can come jump back and compete. Their bullpen is solid. Their offense is okay. They've got some promising starters, including today's starter here at Rick Skubal. Skubal, it was fantastic at times last year. Model gives him a 75 grade, so we're expecting really good things from him. Here's the issue with this one. As everyone knows, the White Sox are terrible, and so this one is priced fairly well. The model would probably lean us to the White Sox based off the current prices, but I'm not jumping on this White Sox team, especially against a pitcher as good as Skubal is, unless the price is right. So right now, no pick on this game because I just need a price that knocks my socks off with the White Sox. No pun intended. Because there's not a team I want to back very often this year. I want to really be selective. And that doesn't mean they won't win this game. Baseball is unpredictable. And so you may see those plus of the White Sox. And I'm not saying it's a terrible pick. I'm just saying I want to make sure the value's there because I know we're going to back the White Sox a lot this year. I know we're going to lose a lot this year. And so the times that we win, I just want to make sure we're getting big enough plus odds for those to be profitable ventures. And I'm just not sure I'm seeing that with the price right now. It doesn't mean they won't win. I don't know what will happen in any one game. It just means that my payout, my reward, is not worth the risk that this White Sox team is truly terrible and on their way to lose about 110 or more games. So for now, passing, we'll see what happens with the update in the morning and the first five lines available to us later on. Cubs and the Rangers, the standalone game here for the one team that won the World Series last year. Somehow my, and you've heard this story before, you know, I bet against my team, the Astros, when they were in the World Series against the Braves in game 6. I was at the game, bet against them, and the Braves won. Bet on my team, game 6 of the World Series, or game 5 of the World Series, whatever it was, game 6, I guess, against the Phillies, and they won. So I don't have a problem betting on or against my team, and that's my most important thing at this point. I've seen my team win a World Series, so, you know, at this point, I'm more concerned about winning money in our picks here. But I have to say it was very painful to watch the Astros lose that series to the Rangers the exact same way they lost the World Series to the Nats back in whatever that was, 2019, with the road team winning all 7 games. I never thought that would happen again when it happened against the Nationals. And then it happened again here in the ALCS to the Rangers, which was wild. Anyway, we'll move on from last year now, and you know, the Rangers can celebrate here this first series and wear their gold jerseys like I've got on here, celebrating the Astros title from the year before in a game against the Cubs where Justin Steele is good. And a guy who is sometimes tough to model and project because he oftentimes beats his peripheral. So he's a guy to kind of keep an eye on here. I think a lot of whether you're playing fantasy, whether it's daily fantasy or fantasy league or betting on him, a lot of times people are having a hard time with a guy like Justin Steele. He doesn't really fit the mold. Very good pitcher against Anthony Eovaldi, who shined for the Rangers, of course, last year and has been pretty consistently good. Rangers will have the edge in the bullpen. They'll have the edge on offense. They're the better team here. We're going to back -114. Sideline says it should be more in the mid to upper -120. So we're just eking into a B grade at -114. Not quite to an A grade. If you can find a minus 110 or better, that gets you to the A grade here. But the Rangers think of the right side. Not really concerned about a celebration hangover or anything like that. Sometimes that fires your team up. Sometimes it doesn't. What we're looking at here is that the starters are both very good. And whenever the starters are done, the Rangers have some relievers, some reliever depth the Cubs don't have. The Cubs offense isn't bad, but the Rangers offense is still better. So the Rangers at home, just having the better team, and the only place where they won't really have the edge is a starting pitcher, and it won't be that far behind because it's not like you've all these slouch there for them. So going back to minus 114 as a B grade. Three late games for us. We're going to start off with the Guardians and the A's. Guardians, according to the model, win the 64% of the time. That's a price in the mid-minus 170s. That makes the Guardians minus 153 a B grade, almost an A grade, minus 151 or better. Gets you that A grade. So again, shop around always. If you can find a minus 150 or better, that gets you the A grade threshold. The A's are a team like the White Sox. You're going to back them a bit when you have the big plus odds, so you want to make sure you do it at the right spots. Last year, we backed the A's a decent bit when Blackburn was pitching. He was fantastic for them. We backed them a lot in the first five because their bullpen was terrible. This year, they've actually got a couple of decent arms, it looks like. We'll see how many of those they trade away. The offense isn't terrible. The offense wasn't bad last year. The biggest issue was their pitching. Alex Wood will start here for him, a guy who's kind of been a journeyman at this point of all the places in California. Hasn't really journeyed anywhere else, it seems like, although I think he had a quick stint with the Reds there for a hot second. But Giants, Dodgers, and now over to Oakland. Model's not very high on, as you can see there. And that's the biggest reason to back the Guardians is the Guardians should jump out early with the lead and then to continue to have an edge pitching. The Guardians are not good against lefties. That was a thing with them last year where they could really struggle against left-handed pitching. I believe the no-hitter that Framber Valdez had was against the Guardians in a stretch where Framber was terrible, but the Guardians are just bad against lefties. A little bit better this year projected than last year, but as you can see there on screen, their projection against lefties is just about the same as the A's overall. So offensively, it'll be kind of neutral early on. But Alex Wood was never a guy really to go six or seven innings. In fact, the last several years, he's been a guy who, at least when the Giants were using him, tended to only go about three innings before they turned it over to the bullpen. I assume the A's will try to stretch him out a little bit longer and that they have him there to eat innings. Early on in the season, though, here, a guy like Alex Wood isn't one I'm counting on going very deep. So I assume we'll get into some lefty-righty back-and-forth stuff, which will help the Guardians out as well. The Guardians will have an edge with Shane Bieber from the start of this game on the mound, and then whatever relievers they turn to will likely be better than whatever Oakland has. So really, this is all about the pitching edge that the Guardians will have, which is why we're going to back them here. Again, almost an A-grade play, won a little bit of a better price in the minus 153 that we're currently eyeing, so B-grade at the moment on the Guardians. Rockies and the Diamondbacks are first non-moneyline or total play. We're going to play Diamondbacks minus one. This is something we started doing last year a little bit. You can play the run line. You're going to get a little bit better odds. I personally just don't like playing minus one and a halves. I'd rather play the minus one. You give up a little bit on the odds. There are some books that just straight up offer a minus one. And if you could chop around at one of those, great. It's straightforward there. You can make a minus one bet yourself, though, folks. If you remember how to do it last year, great. If not, here the quick explanation is you bet to win X dollars on the money line, and then you turn around and risk that same X dollars on the run line. That'll create a minus one for you in that if the team wins by exactly one, you will exactly get your money back because you will win on the money line what you lose on the run line. So you've made a minus one market yourself. If you were to do that at the current prices right now, that would be about minus 180 is what you'd be eyeing Diamondbacks minus one at. Again, you get better odds on the run line, weaker odds on the money line, but of course, a higher probability of winning. But the Diamondbacks, according to the model, win this 74% of the time. Zach Gallen's a really good pitcher. The Diamondbacks obviously had a fantastic run last year. They look to be very solid again this year. They weren't as good as that run indicated, but they were a very solid team. Decent relievers. Zach Gallen's a great starting pitcher. Decent enough offense. They've got some young guys. A lot of excitement there in Arizona. And the Rockies, again, appear to be the Rockies. Terrible on offense. They're going to score some runs in Coors, but that offense is dreadful away from home, and they only look better at home because every offense looks better in that altitude unless it's like 30 degrees and wind blowing in type game. Kyle Freeland, maybe not as bad as that 118 rating, but he's not opening day material. And he's massively mismatched against Zach Gallen. And while the Diamondbacks relievers will be a drop-off from Gallen, as many pitchers are a drop-off from a guy like Zach Gallen, the Rockies relievers aren't any better. So the Diamondbacks just massive edge on offense, massive edge to start the game, and then the relievers should just be eyeing holding on to a lead. So we like the Diamondbacks here, and to make the odds a little bit better, we're going to play the minus one. If they win by one, we push, no big deal. We've at least saved ourselves a little bit of odds in the event that they accidentally lose. And we've increased our payout, of course, if they can win by more than one. So minus one there on the Diamondbacks. A grade pick for us here, as the model thinks the price should be much higher in this market. If you are playing the run line, model says the Diamondbacks cover the run line 57% of the time, and that price should be minus 131, and minus 115 would get you to the A grade. Well, to wrap us up back for another total here, Boston and Seattle. We've loved playing unders in Seattle in the right conditions. It's become one of the more pitcher-friendly ballparks in the country. It was always very pitcher-friendly. Last season, it seemed like it really just jumped to the top or towards the top even more than before. It'll be a very chilly night in Seattle. We're talking temperatures in the 50s, and they do have a roof to prevent the rain, but it doesn't enclose the stadium. So it'll be a chilly night there in Seattle. There's really no way to prevent against it from being cold. They don't have heaters in there, kind of like what happens in Milwaukee, the same sort of thing. They don't have an air conditioner in Milwaukee. So in the summer, if it's hot and they have to close the roof for you know, whatever, it just gets hot in there. There's just nothing else they can do. And so you've got kind of a similar situation there in Seattle. There's no temperature control there. The temperature is usually pretty temperate there in Seattle anyway. So we won't have any rain issues because of the roof, but it will be a chilly night there in an already pitcher-friendly ballpark. One that can see some runs if the sun's out, the wind's blowing out, nice day, warmer, you know, mid-upper 70s type day in Seattle. But on a night like this, it should be very pitcher-friendly. Two good pitchers as well in Brian Bello and Luis Castillo. Both get well above average ratings. Bullpens are solid. Mariners bullpen, very good is the projection. Just like last year, the Red Sox bullpen expected to be above average. And these offenses aren't bad. They're both above average. They're just not great. They both should be at a little bit of a disadvantage against these pitchers. And then you add on the ballpark, and then you add on the weather. We're looking at some massive adjustments. You can see two adjustment numbers there on screen. Before, they were about the same. The first number is the park adjustment. The second one is the additional weather adjustment. So on a normal day in Seattle, we would drop the runs about 14%. This one's a little bit of a colder night than average, not by a ton, but by enough to drop the runs even a little bit more. Projects us at 6.8. So we're going to go under 7.5, folks. This number should be 7. There's no reason for it to be 7.5. The fact that we get a win on 7 makes us a good investment. It's a B grade at minus 117. Obviously, we'd like better odds than that. You can get better odds than that if you shop around and try to find an under 7 or an alt market or something like that. You might push at 7. 7's, again, a very common outcome. But this game could very well end up like 3-1, 2-0. And honestly, it could end up 15-11 like that second game in Korea. Because remember, there are no locks in game one. We never know what's going to happen on one individual game. We're going to lose some of these picks, whether it's today or tomorrow or the next day. We're going to lose one or two of these picks terribly. And it is what it is. We move on and just say fluky things happen sometimes. But if they play this game 10 times, you know, 6 of them, it's probably going to be 7 or less. Maybe even more than that. So there's just a lot of ways this is really low scoring. So we like the under here. Under 7.5, B grade pick to wrap us up. And that's all we've got here for today. All 13 games discussed in one shape or form. We've got more picks, more information, all sorts of benefits over on Dub Club, including our Discord chat. We got people talking about all sorts of other sports we don't cover here, giving out their picks, their opinions, their expertise, sharing data and information. All sorts of goodies over there on Dub Club. 10-day free trial to start you out. QR code there gets you to it, or the link in the show description. Or if you just go to Dub Club and search for us, you'll find us as well. So check that out if you haven't yet and see if you like all the information we provide. Otherwise, best of luck here opening day. If you haven't watched the March Madness shows, we've got Thursday and Friday games already out there on YouTube. Hopefully you've already seen them. Got a lot of great betting this weekend. We'll see everyone else tomorrow.